Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another CP Media podcast, our second episode of the great race that is the Mackenzie, a one lap around Lake Tekapo. Welcome back to the studio, Richard Greer.
Well, it's good to be here. She's a dash to get here, but we made it. Feeling good. Feel like I've rode my bike around the lake.
I will have to apologise for anybody that's been expecting us to go live at 7:30 tonight. We're running 5 minutes late. Richard's having some slight technical difficulties, but boy, under pressure, have you pulled through?
Well, we'll see how we go so far. So I think we're good so far. That's the four different devices, and I'm back to my first one that I started with. So it's all good.
It's a bit like which bike to choose, isn't it?
It is which bike to choose. And which bike are you choosing for the Mackenzie? We did talk about this a bit last time, but I have had a few discussions with others. And since you've done this thing before and you're doing it again, there's some straight flat gravel bits. There's a bit of bounciness up the top. What are you going for with a few river crossings and things?
I'm
what's Angus Petrie going for?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to ride the full size cross country bike. That's what I'm going to ride. Pretty sure.
Okay. You're still, because that in our previous episode, that's what you talked about and you were sold on that. I was quite surprised. I was expecting a gravel bike, but no, you're sticking with that.
If I'd have had more time up my sleeve and I'd have had, not that you can get up there and have a look. I tell you what, next year, you might ask me this again next year and it might be a completely different answer. I really need to go back and revisit what happens up the left-hand side of that lake. I know the right-hand side on the way home, that's definitely gravel bike material. But, and look, three quarters of the way up the left-hand side is probably gravel bike material as well, but it's just trying to remind myself what happens up the top there. It gets a bit rougher through some sort of farmy area up there and then across the riverbed and things. So I think this year, I think we'll just throw the mountain bike on and give it a whirl from there.
And it does mean that you can ride hard across some of that bumpy, rattly stuff, doesn't it? Rather than trying to have to make your way through it. It does change the way you ride your bike.
Yeah, and look, to be fair, a lightweight, full-sus mountain bike that's locked out, you've got all the suspension locked out, you're on 29-inch wheels, it's actually not probably going to be too much slower.
Yep. I think. No, good. We'll find that out. I like it.
I'm really looking forward to it, though. Like, I'm really looking forward to getting there and actually getting a lap around this lake. And I'm, like, fingers crossed that this river's going to play ball and we are going to get to go across the top of it and things. And like I say, that first, the one and only time I've ever done it was the very last year, which was quite sad, really. Back then, and actually we went up and back the left-hand side because we just couldn't get across the river in the middle of winter.
Yeah,
so pretty excited to make that crossing.
Well, Kerry is an exceptional race organizer, so I wouldn't expect anything less. She can dial pretty much everything in, so I'd be surprised if you had any issues there whatsoever.
Well, you know, we do have some involvement with a few events, you know, along the way. We did call Moto Tappy Weather to be really good, and you know, they got a really good day. So I think we should just like put it out here right now. The Mackenzie around Lake Tekapo, get your entry in right now because it's going to be a beautiful bluebird Mackenzie day, and we're going to have a stunning time up and around that lake. There you go, you've heard it here. That's what's going to happen.
There we go. Kerry, that's all we need to know.
Should we stoke now, right?
Yeah, she's like, oh God, you've set that one up for me. But no, she's fizzing about it. It's good.
And there's no extra charge for that either, just FYI, Kerry. There's no extra charge for us liking the weather. All part of the package.
That's right. I was just going to say, do you ride your bike when it's not sunny?
Well, I used to.
Okay, so if that comes true, if that doesn't come true, you might not even be there, Angus. So therefore, hey, for anyone taking up on that promise, it's not going to matter.
Nah, look, we'll be committing. We're committing. We're doing a lap. That's what we're doing.
Good. Like to hear it.
So yeah, how you been anyway, mate?
Good. Just been chilling really recently. Just after Coast, cooked myself a little bit. So just sort of been doing as little as I possibly could. And just on that point of like, I probably need to start doing something just to offset the amount of calories that have been intaken, amount of nutrition being taken on board. So yeah, just chipping away, not doing too much, just cruising.
Do you know what would be really good for you?
A bike ride.
A bike ride. And what's better, a mountain bike ride? And yes. Do you know yes, where yes, would yes, be really lake. Good for the soul? Round a lake. That's right.
Yes, that's exactly right. I'm just working on that, actually. Middle of the school holidays, so just sussing out how we can make this work.
Oh, look, school holiday trip to the Tekapo, to the hot pools. The kids are going to love it. Oh, how good. Exactly. Oh, I don't know how that's going to be too hard to sell. That should be all about it.
So you're working on that. Yep. So with a bit of luck, we should be there, I think.
Awesome. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Righto. Well, like I said, welcome back, of course, to episode number 2 for this Mackenzie. And tonight, Richard, who have we got on as our guest tonight to tell us, to bring us in?
Yes, so we're going to have a chat to Kushla Holdaway, who's a dietitian who we've had on a few of our shows to talk nutrition, but not just nutrition, specific nutrition for this race is what we want to dial in. So going to have a chat to her. We're going to chat to Grant Boyd, who's lining up. He's done it in the icy cold days and coming back again and bringing a busload of other riders from Marlborough, from Blenheim as well, which is pretty awesome. So going to have a chat to Grant and also going to have a chat to Kerry, the race director, to get an understanding about what's kind of been going on. Is there any new developments? What to look forward to? Are other things we need to be dialing in to make sure that we can have an awesome day out there as well? So, yeah, should be a good episode. Lots of learning to be done.
Should we just recap just a little bit, of course, what the Mackenzie is about? There's an 88K. There's three options now. There's the 88K, the main loop, the right the way round. There's the 78K, which just starts a bit further up the road, just to give you a little bit of a head start to the whole thing. But does the loop, comes through the river, and then, of course, there's the new – oh, sorry, that'll be the – which way around is that, actually?
65.
Is that
88, 65 are the two that go across the top.
Yeah, sorry. Yep. That's right. So the 88 and the 65 and then the 78, the new graveler up the right-hand side where we're going to send all the e-bikes and really a gravel option as well to go up and back down that right-hand side.
Yep. Yeah. So, something for everybody. Go and get amongst it. It's good.
I reckon. Right. Shall we bring Kushla on, talk some nutrition and see how many snacks we're going to be allowed to eat all the way through this event?
Yeah, how many can we carry and how can we carry them? What's the best option there? How are you doing, Kushla?
Hey guys, lovely to be back on. Do you know, I was just thinking, it's 4 years since the three of us kicked off the first ever Team CP podcast together.
4 years. 4 years.
What? Isn't it? Crazy.
We haven't done much different in 4 years, have we, really?
No, we're back here again, aren't we?
The dad jokes are still as bad. Sorry, people.
Yeah, that's right. The dad jokes, we've probably set a few people up. But I tell you what would have happened in 4 years. I'd like to know the number of people that have completed a race like the Mackenzie and ticked it off their bucket list after listening and hearing great advice from the likes of you, Kushla, and the many other guests that we've had. It'd be pretty cool to hear some stories of those that have, over the years, ticked a few boxes.
Definitely, yes.
That's awesome.
Are you meaning previously or tonight?
No. Previously, no. We haven't got time for a long list, the list is actually long and distinguished of people that have listened to us, eh, Rich?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's right. Let's move along. Let's talk nutrition, shall we? As you mentioned just before, how many snacks can we carry, Angus, is what we want to know about, isn't it? So I guess that's the first thing, isn't it, Kushla, around logistics of carrying energy, carrying hydration. What are some options? What should we be looking at in that regard? What would you recommend as someone on an adventure riding a bike?
You do have to think about logistics, and that will come down to whether you're going to rely on some of the aid station fuel or not. So whether you want to be completely reliant for the full 88Ks, if that's the longest race you're doing, or one of the shorter versions. But, you know, you could be out there for a good chunk of the day. So if you're going to carry all your fuel and top up with fluid at the aid stations even, then you need to think about how that's going to fit on your bike. I'm always a big fan of the top tube bags you can get, where you can pre-cut up little snacks and put them in bite-sized pieces in there, or energy chews, lollies, whatever. It can be like a little surprise of what you pull out. Otherwise, having your hydration vest, you could have a bladder in there, you could have your front flasks, and you could also pack some extra snacks, maybe a sandwich in the back if that's what you're after. But yeah, you've really got to think about that space and how much you can cram on. And again, if you're going to be completely self-sufficient or rely on aid station fuel as well.
Yeah, that's right. And it really depends on how long you're going to take as well. Everyone's going to be a bit different in that regard, isn't it? And that's where you start thinking about how much energy do I need to be getting on board. So just on that, like, How do we manage that? How do we organise that? Is it carbohydrate volume amount? What are the guidelines there? Which then we can sort of figure out in terms of hours that we're going to be out there for, and then we can figure out how many sandwiches we take.
Yeah, the quantity of carbs you want per hour can vary massively. And we've gone over this before in other podcasts as well, but the general recommendations is anywhere from about 40 grams an hour up to 90-ish grams an hour. Obviously, you want to practice that level that your gut can tolerate in training. So if you're used to having around 50 grams, don't suddenly try and push it up to 90 on race day. And the quantity you can consume and the types of food will completely depend on the intensity you're racing at as well. So if you're out there to, you know, podium and you're going to be working at threshold, you might not be stopping at the aid stations to grab the lovely scones that Kerry's organised, which sound delicious, because it's just going to be too hard to consume. So in that case, you might be relying more on the easy to get down options like your sports drink, gels and chews. But for someone who's just out there to complete it and have fun, then of course you can have some of those more tricky options to consume, like actually stopping and having a sandwich, having a cheese roll, whatever it is.
Yeah, good. And is Kerry giving us cheese rolls, is are they an option at the aid stations?
Apparently. Or
is it? Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, there you go, Angus. So,
yeah, it's going to be gourmet. Yeah.
It's very gourmet. So she's given us lots of treats there. We've got scones, toasted sandwiches, cheese rolls, and soup, I've heard.
Okay.
Soup.
Okay.
Yeah. Might get some for a bottle. That'll be actually the go, wouldn't it? Like, yeah, top the bottle.
That's
up
good
with
stuff. I think soup is underrated as a bit of a nutrition option. It's good. It's not sweet. There's plenty of good energy in amongst that as well, I'd imagine. Would that be right, Kushla?
Depends on the soup, but it would be nice. Generally, a lot of soups, especially more the packet ones, are nice and high in sodium, which can be helpful. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a bit of fluid in there. And if it's a bit of a chilly day, which around Tikapot it could be, it'd be a nice little warm-up. So, yeah. I've never personally had soup in a race, but hey, I'm open to trying something.
But one thing there's not going to be, as Jill has just commented here, is there's not going to be any wind. So
it might
be a little bit chilly, but there definitely won't be any wind. So that's another thing to cross out as well. So I guess it is that planning, isn't it? What are we going to do? How hard are we going to go? And therefore, that's going to figure out whether we're going to stop at the aid stations or whether we're going to bust on and whether we're going to have more of that sports drink, gels, chews. If it's more higher end, we're just pushing hard the whole time. But it is going to be a long time, even for the winners. They're going to be out there for a good 5 hours anyway. Most of us are going to be out there for 7, 8, 9, 10 even. It's going to be a big day out, isn't it? So food becomes probably a bit more important just because we're out there for so long.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And if you're going to be out there longer, as in your intensity may be a bit lower at times, then you will need to potentially take something a bit more substantial, like a sandwich or even some people take, like, you know, freeze-dried meals if they're just out there to complete it as well. You just need the hot water or cold water to mix it with.
I do not have 8 hours in my head here, Richard. I might have to re-form this a little bit.
It's not okay, what is Angus thinking?
I'm learning.
What have we got? Yeah, no, what have we got? What's in your head, Angus?
Nothing, actually, to be fair, which isn't unusual.
it's even worse, isn't it, Kushla?
I hadn't actually thought about it, actually, to be fair. So now you've actually got me thinking about what I actually might need to pack.
Excellent. What are you thinking now?
Well, I was actually thinking what would be a cool game, like a fun game, Richard, if I pack your snacks and you pack mine, and won't that be a surprise as we go around?
That's quite good. And I just hope that you pack some.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you don't like them, well, I'm sure just like when you're at school, at primary school, you'll be able to trade your Vegemite sandwich off for a hundreds and thousands one or something.
Well, maybe this is probably a good thing, Kushla. Do we just spend 5 minutes getting Angus's nutrition sorted? We've got 88 Ks. We're going to do a lap around the lake. There's not going to be any wind. It's going to be a nice sunny day. We've got some aid stations that we'll probably stop at because that's part of the fun. What are we thinking?
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to run something strong in my bottles because chewing sometimes gets a bit hard, doesn't it? And depending on the terrain, but I was actually, now that I think of that as well, as like in your bottle. But what if it is cold, Kushla? How am I going to tell myself I need to keep drinking in the cold? Because that's one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? Like when it's hot and it's 30 degrees and you're sweating, you're naturally thirsty, so you naturally take it in. When it's a cold day, like really hard to actually tell yourself to put something in.
It is. It really is. And that's where, as an individual, your sweat rate can vary massively as well. Like, and that's why it can be really helpful to do sweat rate tests. But you going out and cycling on a 30 degree northwest day is going to be very different to like a 6 degree day around Tekapo in the cold. So having a bit of a rough idea of where that might sit for you would be valuable, because there is a fine line between forcing yourself to drink and overdoing it versus underdoing it. But if you have a bit of a guideline, you can keep that in your mind and drink to thirst a little bit as well.
So even though it is cold, I am still sweating.
Absolutely. And not only are you losing it through sweat, but also urinary tract and your breath as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact you're an angry man as well, Angus, that will also create a bit more sweat too.
It doubles it. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially early. Probably in the first 20Ks, he's going to be angry, as long as he's not sad in the last 20.
Angry in the
you
first.
You lose some through tears as well.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So we've got some nutrition in the bottle, and what some snacks that you're going to put on board, Angus, and does Kushler give that the tick? What are you going to go with
there? Well. Now, hang on a minute. I don't think it's about her giving the ticket, because aren't we allowed to eat what we like on race day? Like, isn't that like as long as we're eating something? Maybe. I'm definitely taking jet planes, but probably won't chew them till later in the race. I will try and save them for the emergency run home.
What are your favourites in training, Angus?
Well, one's got to train first before he needs to eat. So that's sort of the first thing.
I might just butt in there, actually. I did hear that Angus did, 983 vertical metres today?
I like to call it just under 1,000.
Didn't quite get to 1,000 vertical metres for a few hours worth of training. So he has been, I think maybe he's underselling himself a little bit.
Mm.
Look, I'll go a fair way on some gels and a couple of bars or something. You know, like, I'm pretty attuned to eating bars and chugging gels for a reasonable length of time. So if we're 6-7 hours or something, then we'll easily just probably run ourselves around on that. And some good nutrition in a bottle as well. So
I think if you're going to drink fluid, why not drink your energy with it? And then if you can rotate between a few easy options, like you said, your favorite gels and some bars, which sometimes feel like a bit more solid in your stomach, you should easily get through 5 or 6 hours or so. Yeah.
The question is, do I need to take anything? Well, no, aid stations, I think not. I think no. I think I'm going to – oh, well, actually, now that's actually a good point too, Richard. So maybe I might have to rethink that, because actually my mountain bike only has one bottle cage. So
mm-hmm.
actually need to rethink that. I was thinking two bottles on the bike and one on my back for three bottles, but and then a refill along the way. But one bottle cage on the bike. There's a whole lot of thinking to be done here, isn't there?
Maybe need to move on.
I'm really pleased for having this.
Motion to can of worms.
This chat was for everybody else, but really, to be fair, this is great.
There's also a drop bag option as well. The Musterer's Rest, it's called. Maybe something to consider. What sort of things could we have in there, Kusha?
Yeah, so that's at the 50K mark for the 88K and 30K for the 65, I think. So it's somewhat at the halfway mark, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I think having, again, if you're going to be self-reliant, then you could easily put a top-up of your favourite snacks there. You could put some extra bottles in that drop bag, Angus, ready to grab. And anything else you need. There could even be like, I know, some change of clothes or anything like that as well, depending on what you can fit in the bag. But yeah, thinking about what you might need as a bit of a halfway point, very helpful to have that drop bag there.
And that's going to be after the river crossing, is it?
Is it?
50K. Yeah, must be. Yeah, Kerry's thumbs up in the background saying that.
What
we'll do is we'll talk drop bags and how that process works when we have Kerry on shortly. But right now, what are we putting in it?
Yeah, that's good to have that after the after that river crossing, is it? So you as you say, change of clothes, those sorts of things might be worthwhile depending on what the weather's doing and the day's doing. But a little extra snack there is probably a good thing, isn't it? Just so you grab out. You don't have to carry with it. You can chomp a sandwich as you're sort of riding out, hold it in your mouth as you're sort of eating it and carry on, just not to have to muck around too much if that's what you're trying to do to get some more nutrition on a board and where you go. But a couple of bottles there is a great option.
Save precious minutes if that's what you're after.
I don't think a couple of minutes are going to make any difference to me. So
you never know.
Although my legs aren't very good at stopping though either. So I really like to snatch and grab and keep moving, because if I stop for too long, my legs are not really good at getting started again.
Nice. Good. Okay. Well, I think we've kind of got I was going to say we've got Angus Sawyer, but I don't think we really have, to be honest. I think there's a bit more thinking to do. I think he has to define what he's, how hard he's going to go. He's kind of a little bit rocking between, I want to go hard because that's what he's always done, and also between, maybe I will stop for a little bit, or am I competitive or not?
So, no, I can tell you exactly right now what's going to happen, Richard Greer, is that we're going to get on the start line, and my brain's going to go, this is how you used to race. And so I'm going to go with how I used to race. And this is going to go well for probably not very long. Yeah. And then I'm going to crawl all the way, rest of the way home, going, what did I do that for? As people come past and say hello, hopefully, as they go past.
There we go. So basically, you're going to take your social media situation around the lake. You're going to be up the front, and you're going to be seeing most people as they ride past you. So that's really good, isn't it?
That's probably it, eh? Yeah.
Good. And I guess what maybe the tip from Kushner is what nutrition should riders have on board to give Angus on the way past, as they pass him sort of on that second half of the lake especially? What would be a good sort of thing to hand off for Angus to keep him moving?
I think a good morale boost food in that last stretch along the lake would be good. So some of Angus' favourite treats, what are they? Chalky bar, some jet planes?
No, definitely jet planes. Definitely jet planes is the way to go. Yep.
Pure carbs. There you go. Yeah.
And just wouldn't be a custard square, Angus. Would you take a custard square on board if it was offered?
No. Don't think you so. Well, they're pretty, pretty messy, aren't they? Like when you're on the ride, like they're more of a hiking food than they are a biking food, really.
No, that's right. But hey, I'm sure if you're offered one, you at least have a go at it.
Well, that's right.
That's
a good point. I was going to say, because if somebody carts a custard square all the way around Lake Tekapo in the hope that they might run into me, then I guess I'll have to eat it, won't I?
There you go. Hey, Kusha, we've sort of talked around about a bunch of different things here. Have you got any other advice out there from a nutrition perspective for those that are taking on the Mackenzie in a few weeks' time? Not long to go now, really, is it?
Yeah, it's about a month, isn't it? I think some of the top tips I always give is train as you would race. So if you're going out there to push really hard and work at threshold, then you need to be practicing your nutrition at that intensity as well, and those same foods and that same fluid, that same concentration of sports drink. If you're wanting to enjoy some of the aid station food, including the lovely scones and things, practice those in your training too, because you just want to make sure they settle right in your tummy. With scones, they are probably some of the most carb-rich bready product you can have. From memory, there's like 70 grams in a date scone. So that's pretty hefty for your hourly fuel if you're after that. Just go out and have fun and make sure that in enjoying it that you're fueling yourself to feel good and actually get through the race finishing with a smile on your face.
There we go. That's a great tip, that last one. Absolutely, that's awesome. So how can people get in touch with you if they want a little bit more help to support their riding? And so I guess the big thing with nutrition is, no matter how fit and strong you are, if you don't do your nutrition right, you're not going to perform to your potential. So how can people get in touch with you to get a bit of extra support in that space, Kusha?
Yeah, they can reach out via the TeamCP website or my website, kushtheholdaway.dietitian.com, or Instagram, kushtheholdaway_dietitian.
Perfect. Great stuff. Hey, thanks so much for joining us, Kushla, and giving Angus a little bit of a help. I think he's feeling better about things.
Hopefully.
We'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Great to be on.
Thanks, Kushla.
Thanks, Kushla.
Yeah.
See ya.
Just reminds me how rusty I am at this whole event thing, Richard. Like, it just feels like it's been so long.
It's good. It's good to get back on the bike. I guess it comes down to expectations, doesn't it? A lot of this stuff is that often because you've been at a level before, haven't done much for a little while, and you sort of put yourself under the pressure opposed to other people expecting things of you. So it's your own expectations that you've got to figure out, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Look, I'm not. I am absolutely the least fussed that I've probably ever been, and really looking forward to just going down there and staying the weekend and riding a mountain bike and doing all those sorts of things. And I just can't get any better than that, really.
I think one of those days when you have a flat tire, like 5Ks after the start line, you've given it heaps and then all of a sudden, let me get to my point here. is that then you have a really positive day because you've sort of, well, I'm not racing with those that maybe I'm at the same fitness. I'm sort of cruising through the field as I go. So therefore actually starting towards the back a little bit, seating yourself a little bit lower than maybe what you could or should. So then you can just kind of cruise and have a good day for yourself is quite a nice way of doing it if you just actually want to enjoy yourself and rather than just going out crazy, because often the pace in any mountain bike race, people do go off fast, don't they? It's just the nature of it.
Yeah. No, I think I'll start on the up the front there on the start line anyway, just for the banter, really, more than anything. There's always good banter up the front of the on the start line there.
Maybe just take sort of 5 minutes to click your feet in so then they can just carry on and then you can start riding. Yeah.
Small mechanical as we start. Oh, that'll be the show.
Sorry, guys. You have a great day. I'll be back here.
Actually, speaking of mechanicals, Kusha just said something and I was looking over sort of through where I'm actually positioned here, looking at my mountain bike, thinking, actually, I need to get that damn thing serviced because it's been a long time since it's had a bit of a refresh and a service, and I really need to get that done before this race comes around in only a few weeks' time.
I like the way that you look wistfully up to the left. And it's just sort of remembering those days on the mountain bike. Yeah, look at that. That's good.
Hey, look, let's carry on, mate, because Grant Boyd is waiting in the background. And as you heard, as everybody heard at the start in your intro, Grant's bringing a bus full of people, like a bus full, isn't he?
Is
he
bus full from Blenheim? That's right. He's talked everybody into coming along to this race. 100%.
The Blenheim bus. How big is this bus you're bringing, Grant?
I think it's only a minibus, really, Gus. I think it's only a minibus, yeah.
The bus is a bus.
Yeah.
It's good, though. It's good. You're obviously pretty keen on it, Grant, and also you've got a good sales pitch to drag a few other people in as well, obviously.
Yeah, it was a bit of a dinner conversation, and then they hear about what's happened in the past and what it was like, and then a few people start to join in, and then, of course, when the option for the Graveler came, that sort of opened the door up for a few more. So it looks like we've got a few at the caravan for dinner on Saturday night at this stage, piling in.
Good.
Fantastic. Are they all staying in the caravan too, Grant? Or is there a closing time at 9 o'clock at night?
There's plenty of stars, isn't there? You know, it's an outdoor thing. So, you know, we'll be outdoor in the stars, enjoying the evening. That's what Tekapo is all about.
Good job. What do you most like about riding your bike, Grant? What's the reason for sort of, I guess, training as part of this and actually going down to ride the race, the McKenzie?
I think it was a nostalgia thing, really, because I used to do it, you know, back in, I think, 2011, 12, 13, something like that, a bit of a stretch. And it was always Queen's birthday weekend. The weather was shocking, cold, snow on the side of the road. One night snowed in Tekapo and everyone sort of got locked in. I had to go and buy a change to get home. And then thought, oh, it's going to be April. So that could be almost like summer. Let's enjoy it at a different time. But it was such good fun. And it probably got me started on a lot of that stuff. So I guess, nostalgic reasons, really. Thought, well, let's go back and do it again. And it was also a good chance, as Angus said before, get away for a few days, a bit of a road trip and stay over and ride bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic. That's awesome. Mm. Based on what you know about the course, you've been all the way around. Angus said he's only been up and down the one side. You've been the whole lap.
Yeah. Tell us a few laps. Get up to the top, and the special part for me about up the top left hand side is going through the private property, the farmers up there, which isn't land that's accessible any other time. So you get to ride through the stations. In fact, I think we sort of went back through the back of some farmer's implement sheds and around, you know, through his wool sheds or whatever and out the other side and carry on. And I really think that's quite special that people open up their doors and let us do that. And then, of course, up through the top, you've got all the river crossings and there's two big river systems with lots of crossings and they can be relatively deep. and very cold at that time of year. Maybe in April it could be different, depending on the snow melt. And then come out the other side, once you get out past the Macaulay, when you've done two sets of rivers, you've got a long stretch, 40K straight run home on a shingle road, soaking wet, generally a southerly blowing wind chill factor. So all of that. And you know what? That actually, it's an alpine high country event, and we should expect those sorts of things as potentially going to be the case.
And that's part of the adventure, isn't it? That's part of the reason why you're doing it, is to have an adventure, and you're not exactly sure what you're going to get, what the weather's going to be like. So that's part of, I guess, sitting in the caravan later on, telling those stories about it. If it's if it is a southerly and it's not too flashy out there, definitely puts a badge of honour on your chest for getting around.
Absolutely. It could be quite different at the top than it is down the bottom as well. I mean, it's the high country after all, and expect the unexpected and prepare for it. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the reason for some of the safety clothing and stuff that we have to take in our bags, because of that. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen back in the old days. There was no checks. There was no extra clothing. It was just look after yourself and do what you need to do. It seemed to work okay.
Good. Good for most. Do you have any, I guess, specific tips on how to prepare, what you'll be doing in terms of making sure that you can have a good day out in your preparation in regards to your training, etc.?
Pretty much. I did quite a lot of it this summer leading up to Ironman. A lot of headwind biking, and we can all go for a bike ride on a tailwind and clock up the K's, and I'm as good as anyone at doing that. But sometimes you've got to get out there into a headwind, cold, and put the clothing on, because it's only clothing that's the difference between a cold day and a warm day, and do the hard yards on a training day, and just assume it's going to be cold, assume it's going to be a headwind, especially coming back down from the Macaulay back down to Tekapo. It's a 40K stretch on a shingle road in a straight line virtually with one little bump in the middle. And I have done that in a cold southerly all the way, quite underprepared back in those days. I didn't have food. I didn't know about food. I didn't know all about that sort of stuff. So there's no cushions around then. So no energy. It's a long way back. But I think that's the thing. Anyone can get up. Well, not anyone. But once you get up one side and through the rivers is one thing, then you've got to get home. And it's a long way if you're underprepared or cold or wet, or maybe take some socks in that bag you can leave behind, or carry them with you and change them if you need to. I just think you need to be prepared for those sorts of things.
Nice. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Not really selling that for me, I tell you.
But it's a different time of the year, Angus. It's 2 months earlier. You know, it's still summer. Good. It's okay.
Okay. Good.
And what food will you give Angus as you pass him on the way back down the backside of the lake there, Grant? What are you sort of thinking that you might just sort of have handy to pass off to him when you come back past?
I'm thinking in the old days, like I said, I didn't know about food much back then. And I genuinely thought that why would you stop and eat? That seems to be silly. And so I never did, and paid the price every time, not understanding what the reasons were. And one event, I took a Moro bar with me, and it was in my bag. And I got through all the rivers and got out the other side, and I thought, oh, I might eat that Moro bar. Well, the Moro bar was so frozen and cold, I couldn't even bite through it, and I had no energy. So that was quite unsuccessful, the Moro bar. So I won't be taking a Moro bar. Maybe I will, but I'll put it in a pocket so it stays warm and a bit softer. I could throw him that if I don't need it.
There we go. Pre-warmed Moro bar. That would be good now, wouldn't it? Just sitting on the back of Grant Boyd's back for sort of 60
degrees. They get very cold at 0 degrees. Yeah.
I was almost starting to think that you'd done university in Dunedin or something, Grant. It was sounding like eating's cheating.
I used to think that, and wrongly so. Yeah, wrongly so. I've learned a wee bit over the years.
Brilliant. Great stuff, Grant. Any final passing comments around the Mackenzie?
Look, it's just so great that it's on, and I'm so thrilled that we've now got the option of the up and back, and Leah's entered it. A lot of other partners I know have entered it. They weren't keen on the idea of going around and doing the river crossings. So now, a lot more of the families can be involved and be part of it. rather than sort of standing around Tekapo waiting all day. I think everyone can sort of, you know, do something. So, yeah, great news that that's really cool.
Brilliant, brilliant. Great stuff. Hey, thank you so much for joining us, Grant. Make sure you do give Angus a bit of a pat on the back as you come past him after eating all those snacks on the first half of the event. And, yeah, we look forward to seeing you there.
I hope he doesn't get too much cream from the scone in his moustache. You know, pay to wipe it. You know.
I was just thinking that after a while, I'm going to be like the animals at the zoo. You know, don't feed the animal. I'll be so well fed that I won't actually be able to ride my bike the last 20 kilometres because I'll be so well fed.
You know, I'm setting Angus up for success here because he's not going to take anything now. He's just going to rely on everybody else.
That's exactly what I was just thinking. Actually, I don't have to carry. I don't have to carry him. I've got all these swan ewes now that are going to come past and that are going to feed me. So maybe if every fourth or fifth one of you that come past actually could just do liquid instead of solid, just as an option in case, that would be quite good too.
Because he's definitely going to drift back after that fast start, isn't he? No question.
Yeah, that's right. We're giving him 20Ks for a start. Yeah.
You're giving me a 20K head start. Is that what I heard then? Is that?
No, we're just going to give you the fact that you're probably going pretty well for the first 20. Yeah.
Okay, good. Hey, Grant, we look forward to seeing the travelling gypsies come down the road in their bus and with the caravan on behind.
Yeah. Convoy.
See the whole Blenheim Circus turn up. We are bringing our caravan down too, so hope to see you in the caravan park there over the weekend.
Lovely.
And share a story or two before and during, clearly, and then afterwards at the Mackenzie. Yeah. It's going to be a great weekend, Grant.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for joining
us. Good job. Cheers, Grant.
See you in a few weeks.
Yep.
Okay, this is coming together, isn't it, Angus?
No, I'm set. I don't know about you, but I'm set. I'm really looking for I've got a really good question for Gary lined up. I'm really starting to think through this after Grant was saying that last stretch is 40Ks long, dead straight. In fact, let's just not muck around any longer. Kerry, get in here, Kerry, because I need to ask you a question here. How big is my drop bag and will my gravel bike fit in it?
No, definitely not, Angus. at least you're gonna build it.
Here I was thinking I was gonna just do a little bike swap at that 50k feed zone.
No, actually you can take some spare shoes and a new pair of socks.
Well, tell me, is there going to be any chain lube there, or do I need to pack my own chain lube in that drop bag?
I'd pack your own. Yep.
Right. There's a really great tip for those that are going to, if it is a cold, horrible day and we do end up in a bit of farmer's paddock and a bit of rough stuff up there, and by the time you get across the river and all that sort of stuff, or even if it's dry and dusty, a little bit of chain lube will help you on that last 40K run home. It'll be just like free speed by the time you re-oil that chain.
Yeah, and we've got a really fun aid station crew at Musterers Rest, which is the one at the after the river crossing. So I think that'll be we just got the perfect group of people that'll help sort of push them off and, you know, give them a cuddle and then push them off down the other side. It'll be great.
Let's just be clear, that was Musterers Rest, not Cyclists Rest.
No, Musterers Rest, but I'm sure they'll be, you know, what do they call it, the drove? Driving people off, pushing them off. Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, how's it shaping up,
Gary? Sorry, what's it?
I was just going to say, I'm pleased that you've given them briefing to actually push them off, because people can get a little bit comfortable in the old aid station, can't they? Especially if it's a nice place to be. There's some good snacks there. There's some soup going down, maybe a bit of a shoulder rub. So pleased that they shouldn't get too comfortable. Angus?
No, and that one we've actually called it's going to be a toasty cafe. We've got some toasty makers, got a generator going with some toasty, and you're going to be able to go and pick your flavours and have a little half a sammy on your way while you're changing your shoes. So it'll be great.
This is sounding good.
Well, good stuff. Not everyone will stop, but I think there'll be a fair few that'll be stopping there for a wee warm up and a bit of a morale boost.
Good stuff. Gary, since we last talked to you, there's been a new event the gravel option sort of come up. Give us an update of what else has been going on. Tell us about that for a start, and then other stuff that's been happening that we need to know about.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we'd just been down to Tekapo and done a bit of a recce around the lake and been looking at the rivers, and we were like, why don't we just have a gravel option going, considering Lilybank Road, we've got traffic management in place. It's a really cool drive. If ever you're driving up there, it's such a cool road, and you get completely, I know people saying out and back, you get completely different views, but you really do on Lilybank Road. You've got one way, you're heading straight up into the mountains. Awesome views up right up the top of the lake, like it's something out of Middle Earth. And then, you know, you get to the other end, turn around, and then you get to head back and you're looking, you've got Mount John as sort of your landmark on your way back, and you're kind of getting closer and closer, and totally different view. So it's a really cool ride. And also it's only got around 350 meters of elevation, so it's a lot easier than the other two rides. But it does have a wee hill that I've called Hill of Regrets, because I have a feeling there's going to be a few people coming back and thinking, what the heck have I done? I thought this bit was flat, and it really is mostly flat except for this nasty little hill. So I think we'll see quite a few people pushing at that point.
And swearing and cursing.
Yes. So we've named it in advance, so people can blame themselves, not me.
Good. And generally you put photographers in that sort of spot. Like, is there any plan for that?
Yep, we've got, I'm really excited about our media crew. We've got marathon photos are going to be dotted around the lake, which is cool. And then we've got our videographers. We've got a couple of them with their drones and footage. And then we've got our regular photographer, Sean Beale. He gets amazing editorial photos. So I'm actually really excited about it. We'll definitely snap some people who are not looking very happy. It's one of the reasons.
I look forward to my portrait.
No, it's going to be fun. But we do have the dogs ready for the bark off, because our start gun is not a hoot or anything. It's just we've got some farm dogs ready, and when the dogs bark, that's the start. So it sort of sets the theme for the whole day, really. So that's fun. We've got them lined up, all ready to go.
Nice. And tell us a little bit about the event village, the start finish line. So what's happening in that space? When's prize giving? Like, are you sort of having it on one particular time, or are you sort of figuring out throughout the day? What's sort of happening around that?
Well, we've got two race villages. We've got our main one in Lake Tekapo, and then we've obviously got the mini muster start line. But that's really, you know, we've got a set up there, but that's once the mini muster start, that'll just become, you know, a ride through zone. And so the main race village is in Lake Tekapo, and what they call the Village Green. So it's in that lovely big green space between the shops and the lake. And then, so we've got the prize giving booked in for 4 o'clock, but I think we'll be reasonably flexible on that. We want most people to finish before we get that going. So I think we'll be just communicating with people during the day. Most people will still be hanging around Tekapo by then, even if they've just come for the day, because there'll still be people finishing. So we want it to be, you know, fun time for most people to come and enjoy the prize giving and share some stories and have a yarn. And we've got the Tekapo Lions. They're a great bunch, do a lot for the community, and they've just shushed up their food caravan, so they're going to be down there getting lots of hot food and things. We've got coffee, and we have our MC there and some music going, and yeah, it'll be fun. We have a running race down there in September, so we've kind of done that a few times now, so we've kind of perfected our race village. Yeah, it's a great spot, just amazing views of the lake, and watching everyone coming through that finish is going to be pretty cool, because we've got that footbridge, the pretty iconic footbridge in Tekapo, part of the course, so that shut off for pedestrians for the day, so that's pretty cool. It's going to be a pretty special way to come past the church and then up and over the bridge and whiz around the corner and then be there for the crowd at the finish. That's quite a cool way to finish.
Awesome.
That's awesome. And Angus, have you been organising or practising your finish line Superman? Has that been something that's been going on recently? Something that you were pretty good at back in the day?
It's been a long time since I've done a finish line plank, Richard Greer. Let me just – I could ponder that. Yeah, I've been known to – to do the old finish line plank, but I've also been known to get sort of into the plank position and cramp up and then sort of fall over after the finish line. So I need to just play that one out.
It doesn't matter what happens after the finish line.
Yeah, we've got massage ladies there, Angus. We can fix you up.
Oh, well, I might be able to just like roll straight in and roll over onto the massage table.
Do you have
table.
A sack barrow or wheelbarrows or anything like that, Gary, to get them to the massage table? Or are like just like people dragging people across, or what happens?
We should. Yep. We might have to put that in our things to pack.
Either a sack barrel or like a toboggan, I think probably will work quite well. Just to roll them into that and then just sort of cart them off.
That's a great idea.
Just on that, what's the story? Do we need to book a massage, or are they just there, going to be there willy-nilly trying to fix us all up? Or how does that work?
You can do both, Angus. You can book or just turn up. So they do give preference to people who've booked, so you're better off booking and, saving a spot.
If I turn up and say, hey, I'm Richard Greer, I should get in there pretty easily. Is that right?
They might give you a double time zone.
They'll probably hurt you quite a lot too, Angus. I wouldn't do that if I was you. that's awesome. Anything else that we should know about? We've heard a lot about these aid stations and the toasties, the scones, the soup, etc. Is there anything else that we need to know to make sure that we can have a good day out at the Mackenzie in 2024?
I think it's all about the attitude, really. Like, I think our whole vibe we're going for is realising we've got people there that are there to race and, you know, want to get a really good time. I think the course record back in the day was 3 hours. So it seems sort of unbelievable, but to look at that lake and think someone can get around there, and I don't think you could drive it in 3 hours, so it's quite amazing. But we've also got a lot of people there that are really just out for a really good day. So I think it's all about the fun and going there and having a good time. And like our 16-year-old daughter's doing the mini muster, so that's pretty cool. So we'll, be thinking about her out on the course during the day, and there'll be lots of people out there that have, getting used to river crossings and that kind of thing. So I think it's getting into the atmosphere of it, and the locals here are pretty excited. The farmers are awesome, just letting us through their properties. And, so I think it's all about the atmosphere and just creating a really fun day. I was actually just thinking then about the Godley Peak Station when you were asking before about the conditions around that top western side of the lake.
I'm listening.
So I think the main part that's going to be the most technical is around the bluffs. So that's a pretty exciting bit of the ride. So you've got like scree slopes that are sort of covering the track that's got some sharp rocks. And there's a wee bit of boulder dodging and things around there. So I think we've got really experienced marshals all around the course, but that's probably the one bit that's going to be the rivers, but that's probably the one bit that'll be a wee bit, slow down. And because if you swerve, it'll be a bit of a nasty fall. There is some water down the bottom, but it's probably the one bit that you want to be a wee bit more careful on. So, but the rest of the track's looking awesome. So, it'll be good. We've got a photographer at the Bluff, so there'll be some good photos.
Perfect. No, that's awesome. Anything else from you, Angus, that you'd like to ask Kerry about, tailwind on the finish line or anything like that?
Tailwind all day round would be good. Don't mind a bit of wind shift if it's tailwind's up, tailwind's down. No, other than the fact that, Kerry, let's just confirm, we've still got a few weeks we can enter. We can rope a few more people into this yet.
Yep, definitely. We've got heaps of medals, so we'd love heaps of people to come. We've got some new medals coming for the gravel race, which is cool. They've all got their own little each. The medals are like the shepherd's whistle.
Yep.
So, yeah, they've all got the race name on the medal, which is cool. So we've got some special ones for the gravel ride, which is neat. I think more the come, the better. We've got heaps of space still. And, we just want everyone to come and have a good time. TKPO's accommodation's looking pretty busy. So I think if you want to book your accommodation, you want to get and do that pretty quick. There's Fairley and Twizel that are just down the road. So if you, doesn't matter where you stay, really, you're still going to be part of the Mackenzie. So it's cool.
Oh, so if you're staying at Feely, if you're staying at Feely and planning on passing me, the salmon and bacon pie is the one that you'll need to pick up while you're there.
Perfect. You can actually get them from the Tekapo Foursquare, Angus.
Oh, how about that? Oh, there's nothing like a fresh one right from early morning, is there, hey?
No. Definitely not.
Someone could put it in their back pocket. They could ride around with it. They could sort of warm it up in the toasty machine, couldn't they? And then they could pass you and then give it to you sort of all crispy and warm. That'd be good.
Yeah.
One exciting thing is for the muster riders, that when they start, they're actually going to go, no, Grant, we were talking about it before we started the podcast, but they used to, back in the day, they used to go sort of up past the campground and through some of the forest there, but we're actually going up the highway, so the traffic management's shutting one lane of the highway, which is quite cool, so you don't often get to ride the road with no traffic on that side. Are we cool?
Cool. That's awesome.
Yep.
Hey, good stuff, Kerry. Well done.
I was just going to say, we do have a few surprises around the course as well, which we're not going to allude to, but
awesome.
Should need a bit of fun.
How good.
Brilliant. Hey, you organised a fantastic event, Kerry. I think that's probably why this event is going to take off. If it's going to go great guns this year, but in the future it's just going to grow and grow with the other events that you've done in the past. So well done for everything that you do. All the best for the next month. I know it's going to get busier and busier as you dial things in and get set for race day. But all the best. Thank you for putting this on for all of us and helping us, share that adventure for everybody that's out there as well.
Cool. Thanks, guys. I look forward to having you there. And hopefully your family can come down, Rich, as well. And
yeah, that sounds good. I've just been working that out in my head as we go, just trying to figure out what snack that I could get Angus.
Are you doing two laps? You'll need to do
a second. Twice, Rich.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm not sure about that. That's good stuff. Cool. Hey, thanks, Kerry. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
See you. I'm pretty excited, Rich, that you might be coming down there, actually, to be fair. That's great.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'd like to.
Do you need to bring Tash or what?
Oh, no. Just a bit of kids' sport and things that we need to figure out and what we're up to. We've sort of booked a bit of a holiday around that time as well, but we haven't really quite figured out exactly what we're doing. So just need to figure out some plans. But, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic event, isn't it? And, I reiterate, Kerry does organize with her team a great event, so this is going to be a cool adventure to see what she comes up with.
Definitely pretty excited, and there's quite a few that I know are going. Like, we've got Coach Aaron's going as well from Team CP. He's going to do the long way around. His wife Bridget is she's actually taking her e-bike and going to go obviously up the right hand side. Sandra is coming. She's going to bring her gravel bike and go up the right hand side as well now that gravel option's come around. So lots of people coming down to take on all the different events. So it's going to be a great atmosphere, and there's going to be some great stories told at the end of it, which is always one of those favorite times, sharing everybody's stories.
Absolutely. Any takeaways as a summary from tonight's podcast, Angus?
Well, I don't know what happened there, to be fair, but I've been totally ambushed. And but what I do know is I'm not going to be short of something to eat.
It's going to be good.
My takeaway actually is that actually I need to start thinking we're only a few weeks away, and I actually probably need to start putting some serious thought into what on earth I'm up to here and what's going on. But no doubt it'll all come rushing back when I start rummaging around the garage trying to find all those useful bits that'll come in handy on race day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really do look forward to the stories at the finish line of people giving you food, because I'm sure they will. And that's going to be pretty funny.
Be like a whole menu, right? A whole menu. I'll need to take a whole list of. I better take a pen and paper to know who's given me what along the way. But hey, once again, thank you very much. Episode 2 of our Mackenzie, the late round Lake Tekapo race. Stoked that we're a part of it. Stoked we're going to be there. Great that it's back on the calendar again. Can't thank Kerry enough for picking this event up and putting it back out there. Such an iconic thing. And what are we talking? 20th of April. Saturday, 20th of April is D-Day.
Yep, get yourself sorted. Make sure, as Grant mentioned, go out and do some long training rides so you've got a bit of, I guess, simulating what the event's going to be about. You can practice that nutrition as part of that and therefore turn up and have an awesome day out exploring around Lake Tekapo.
Absolutely. Righto. Until then, are we having a... We're so unorganized sometimes, aren't we? After 4 years, as Kushla says, you'd think we'd be a little bit more organized with this. But can I assume, and I assume we're going to have a debrief, Mackenzie podcast.
I guess it depends on how much of a sad face you have in the last 20Ks, doesn't it? Should we just start off and decide whether...
Gary's just given us the thumbs up. And to be fair, as long as we just wait that, as long as it's not on the day and we wait a day or two afterwards, I'm sure I'll be fine.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing how fast that turns around, isn't it? Actually, that was quite fun. Actually, I quite enjoyed that. Whereas on the finish line, never, ever, ever, ever again. It's amazing how fast that turns around.
Correct. Absolutely. So see you, Richard, on the 20th of April in around Lake Tekapo. To everybody else, thank you very much for tuning in as always, and we'll see you next time.